this edition of the Hagman & Hagman Report. We concluded our first hour with a kind of a recap of the inauguration and different things that came from that, both from the news media and from the public and from the Trump administration. And then we had Samuel Culper on to talk about military intelligence in the last segment. Now we're joined by Dr. Ted Breuer from healthmasters.com. He's going to be with us till the end of the show. We're going to continue to talk about what happened today, the inauguration, as well as a number of other important stories that Ted has put together.
And tonight's broadcast brought to you by healthmasters.com. That's healthmasters.com. If you're not taking HealthMasters supplements, you're missing out, folks. Really simple. Go to healthmasters.com. Order your multiple vitamins. If you're not taking multiple vitamins, why not? Look, it's something you've got to do. Healthmasters.com. They've got a wide array of nutritional supplements, the best in the world. The only supplements we take here at the Hagman Studio. As a matter of fact, Eric just finished a purple stick. Okay, so, and I
He's
need
been,
one.
Consuming I need those one. Constantly.
Yeah, I he is. So healthmasters.com, and the man behind healthmasters is in fact Ted Breuer. But Ted, wow. Thanks for being here. And what a historic day, huh?
Well, you know, it was the time that the people in the United States, the Christian people, the Protestant people, the Catholic people, all joined together, and some of the Jewish folks included with us, finally said, no, we will not go quietly into the night. We will not be taken over by tyranny. We will not go into a new world order, and we will stand against this. And we did. And we prayed and prayed and prayed, and God delivered us from this. And he's given us a reprieve, Doug and Joe. He's basically allowed us another chance. And so I want to cover some stuff about Obama tonight, about his legacy that he does not have. I'll tell you what his legacy is, but it's pretty horrible. And we'll go over some of the alternatives, some of the things that Trump needs to do tonight. We're going to talk about that. I don't know which orders he signed today. He signed a bunch of stuff there in the Oval Office today.
Yeah, he signed
National Patriotism Day.
Yep.
I believe. And an interesting thing, I don't know if you saw this, but all the references to climate change were taken off the White House website, as well as LGBT working rights. And I thought that was pretty smart to do, especially with the working rights. Instead of putting a propping up or putting in a special category for, you know, people not to discriminate against, just having everybody under the same laws and not putting those divisions in there.
I mean, at 7:30 this morning, he did call me to be Deputy Attorney General, but I missed that call.
Well, I'll tell you what, Doug, you've done a good job at it. I mean, I have a bunch of my friends up there right now. They've been sending me pictures and videos all day. And the weather was kind of dreary today, but then the Bible says, you know, it rains on those that God favors, and basically it started raining when Trump took the podium, and what I thought was kind of cool, because Graham said that when he started praying. Also, I know Paula White, who prayed this morning. I've been on her TV show many times. I've raised a lot of money for her ministry back when she was in Tampa with Without Walls. And I know some things about Paula that I will not disclose, but I also know some good things about Paula. And I remember the Tampa Tribune called me up about 8 years ago, Doug. And they said, we know that you've been on Paula's White. And the Tampa Tribune is the largest paper in Central Florida. Let me tell you what that is. It's in Tampa, Clearwater, St. Pete. Millions of people in the circulation and read it online. And they called me up about 7-8 years ago. And they said, Dr. Breuer, we need to talk to you. And I said, sure. I said, how'd you get this number? And I said, well, a friend of yours gave us the number. I said, can you tell me the friend's name? And they said, it's an unlisted number. And they said, no, we don't feel comfortable disclosing the information on who gave us your unlisted home number, which I thought was interesting. And then they said to me, they said, we'd like to have your input about Paula White, because she's going through a divorce right now, and she has some negative press about her in the Tampa Tribune, so we kind of need to know what you think about this woman and their ministry. And I said, oh, I'll be happy to be interviewed by you. And she goes, really? I said, yeah. I said, I know Paula very, very well. I know her husband very well. I've been on her TV show many times, and I'll be more than happy to tell you exactly what I know about Paula White. And they got all excited, Doug. They really got excited. And they said, well, what do you want to say? What's your first statement? And I said, that Paula White Ministries paid all of her bills to me. And they said, okay, what does that mean? I said, well, they paid all of her bills to me on time, and none of their checks bounced, and all the bills were good, and they paid all of their bills to me on time, and I never had to go after them for money. What does that mean? And I laughed at them. I said, okay, I'll make it simple to you. They pay their bills. And they go, oh, well, what else do you have to say about Paula White? And I said, well, I'll give you a scripture that kind of sums up a lot of stuff. As silver is tested in the crucible and gold is tested in the furnace, so a man is tested by the praise that he receives. And they said, what the heck does that mean? So I quoted it back to them again. And they said, well, that seems a little odd to me. I mean, what are you trying to say there? I said, well, those are my statements for the day. They pay all of our bills to me and the scripture out of Proverbs. And they said, okay, this conversation is over, click. And that was it. And the next time I was on Paula's show, I remember we were sitting out there and we were doing Sharon's new book at that time. It was Max, it was the Healthy Country Cooking. And I remember Paula had brought us out there and I told her what had happened with the Tampa Tribune and she profusely thanked me. And so I know other things about Paula and I know a lot of things about a lot of other international ministries that I'm just not going to disclose because to me it's not hearsay. And a lot of the stuff is favorable. A lot of it's not favorable. A lot of it is just not about Paul. Some of it's about other ministries. I don't talk about that stuff because it's not necessary. Because here's the thing. We have to maintain unity of the spirit and unity of the believers. All we, you know, Satan is the accuser of the brethren. And he runs around tearing people down. And Doug, you know, you've had that happen to you before online, who by fellow Christians, I may add, people who claim to be born again believers, and they tear you, they tear into you, or they tear into me, or they tear into Dave Hodges, or they tear into somebody else. And the problem is,
it's your pastime. Yeah.
It's what they do. Yeah. And you know, haters are going to hate. And as long as you understand that, it doesn't matter if they claim to be a Christian, or if they're not a Christian, it doesn't make any difference. Haters are going to hate. And there's not a whole lot you can do to make a hater not hate. I remember one time I was listening to a sermon on TV and they said, when the pastor said he's got a mega church, and he said, this is actually a pretty good sermon. And he said, if you have 100 people who are listening to you or who are watching you on TV, he said, 100 people, he said, 25 of those people are going to hate you. No matter what you say, no matter what you do, you can give them cars or homes or money. It doesn't make a bit of difference. They're going to hate you because they're haters. That's what they do. The next 25, they're going to hate you too. But if you really work on them and you give them enough stuff and give them enough information, they'll learn to love you. Well, the next 25% are going to love you, but if they get enough bad information about you, they'll learn to hate you. And the final 25% are going to love you no matter what you say. And see, here's the thing, Doug. I love my 25%ers. I know you do too. And here's the thing, guys. We all need to strive to be 25%ers. If you don't like something that Doug says or that I say or another talk show host says, you don't need to be tearing into that talk show host in your comments on YouTube. In fact, we've disabled all of our comments on YouTube because I found out that the haters, they really like to hate up on you on the comments on YouTube. And so we've decided a long time ago that we were no longer going to police our comments and get all the people that claim to be Christians with all their filthy language off of that. Because remember, a lot of the trolls from the government, which I hope Trump will get rid of now, come onto YouTube and come onto these websites where they have a chance to make comments, and they'll link all kinds of weird stuff and obscure stuff back to you that you never did or never said. So guys, here's the thing. We have to stand in unity of the Spirit. I was so happy that Paula White was able to do what she did today. She did an excellent job. She called on the name of Jesus multiple times. Franklin Graham did that multiple times. And we have to understand something. Yeshua, Yahweh, was in all of this. Now, there are some people out there that claim to be Christians online. They were against Trump, and they were for Hillary. And I did call out one person who said something about that, and that was T.D. Jakes, when he had Oprah on his show, and he was so pro-Hillary. And I said, basically, shame on you, to T.D. Jakes. But it won't affect him one bit because, you know, he has millions of followers who love him, who support him, who give him a lavish lifestyle. And sadly, because he's black, he may have felt that pandering to his demographics was going to give him more offerings, which it may have. But the sad part about it is this. We all live in the same country, and we have to learn to get along. And certain segments of the left, the extreme left, and Christians who claim to be Christians don't want to get along with anybody. They want to do what they want to do, say what they want to say, and get along with no one. And they create conflict because it creates more website traffic to their website, because those 25% of haters, they always track the other 25% of haters who listen to them, and they constantly listen to each other, and they reinforce their opinions, whether they're true or not. And that's why I don't allow comments any longer on my YouTube channels and the new YouTube channel we've just set up for the Ted and Austin Brower Show, Doug. So maybe that makes a little bit of sense. But guys, we all need to support Trump. I felt that his speech today was exemplary. It was short to the point. He didn't mention himself, but just a couple of times. He mentioned we, unlike Obama, who mentioned himself dozens of times in his farewell speech that I don't think anybody watched, including myself. I just read the summary of it. But the thing about it is, I'm so happy I don't have to see his 6 foot tall linebacker looking whatever it is wife, you know, any longer on the platform with him. And guys, I'm just really happy that we've got a beautiful first lady, a beautiful first family, and a really type A male who's going to take charge and dump all the LGBT stuff off the White House website, not put rainbow colors on the on the White House any longer. And hopefully on Monday, Doug, he will do as he said he was going to do and get rid of all the executive orders that Obama has signed and rescind them. because he can do that with the stroke of a pen. Let Congress fight it out whether or not he can get it through or not. But I would do each one individually, because each one of them have to come up before Congress that way if they're trying to rescind it with a special vote. And I would also go back further. I'd go back with George W. Bush, and I would also go back with Clinton, and I'd go all the way back to George H. Bush, all the way back, as far back as I needed to go, to rescind executive orders that are creating undue burden on the American taxpayer and the American population. Doug, what do you think?
I think you're exactly right. And just a little bit ago, from Fox News, Trump's first four executive orders, White House Press Secretary Sean Spicer outlined the first four orders Trump signed. One, an order to the government for a complete freeze on new regulations. Two, to form a committee to help General Mattis in his new role. Three, to form a committee to help General Kelly in his new role as DHS Secretary. And four, an order to the government to ease the burden of Obamacare. So out of the two out of four helping his cabinet get in place, and the other two freezing new regulations and easing the burden of Obamacare, it seems like he is sticking to some of his promises. And back to the inaugural speech, what you talked about is very important. There was more prayer in this inaugural speech than any other. That's he right. did reference how the system of governance in Washington has been abusing its power and undermining the American people economically with these new laws and overbearing regulations. He talked about bringing, you know, putting the American people first. And then you have Rachel Maddow and Chris Matthews. Rachel Maddow saying that his speech was dark and militant. Chris Matthews saying it was Hitlerian. Which we know that these people have just gone off the reservation completely insane. Instead of reporting news, they report their own opinions. And I guess that's my biggest concern, the opposition that Trump faces from the media. But at the same time, the opposition is growing so, their minds are completely tangled up in confusion right now, that they're showing their true colors. And that might be the only thing that gets the people, at least who, the people who hate Trump are going to continue to watch that, because it feeds into what they already believe. But, you know, that other 75% of people you described who don't support Trump, I think will start to see the media for what they are, and might, and especially with Trump doing what he promised to do, it's going to add to his favorability. And you're right, the time for a division is over. I think it's going to get darker before it gets better, but we're on the right track now.
Well, you got to, we've talked about many times about the energy fields around the planet, the energy field that are created by emotions. And when you have these dark overlords, these interdimensional entities, these fallen angels, or whatever you want to call them, that feed off of negative emotion, that we know they're these demon spirits or whatever you want to call it, pick a name for them. You know, when we allow the left, the left allows itself to have this extreme hatred in their heart for everybody. It doesn't make any difference, you know, that it's Trump. It's just everybody. I mean, I've been on a lot of cruises over my life because I'm 61 years old. And my wife and I used to try to take a cruise like every year with the kids because it was just a really inexpensive vacation. And I remember you'd always get these liberals on these cruise ships because they could get a lot of bang for the buck. And they would get on these ships and they would start bossing people around and telling people what to do all the time. And just were nasty, nasty, mean people. And finally, after about the third or fourth day on these cruises, I just get to the point where I wouldn't tolerate anymore, Joe. And I say, look, if you don't got something, if you don't haven't got anything nice to say, why are you talking to me? Why don't you just leave or shut up or just go somewhere else? And you say, well, that was really harsh, Ted. You know, that was after I dealt with it for days on end. And finally, I said, you know what? I'm just not going to put up with this. But there's people don't realize some people are just really horrible, mean, and nasty.
Man overboard.
No, that's right. Doug, you know it's true. Some people brighten up a room by leaving it. And these liberals are like that. I mean, in Ohio State today, they had to put a safe space for their students who were so distraught that Trump was coming in. They had to have a safe space with their counselors, and I'm sure they had Play-Doh and puppies to play for, and a lot of children and a lot of students all around the country today were going to walk out during Trump's speech and walk out of their classroom.
I would have smacked his butt silly. I'm telling you. I'm going to my safe space. Any of my kids go there, they would have, I'm sorry.
Wouldn't have been
liberals.
Safe.
No.
But remember, this is what happens when everybody gets a trophy. And this is what they've done. They've taken their Edward Bernays, Madison Avenue, slick marketing from that Sabbatean Satanist, the cousin of had sort of Sigmund Freud. We've done a whole show on that before on your show. And they've taken his teachings and they've trained these people through Madison Avenue and they've conditioned their brains. And remember, we all have a, let me kind of just share it this way. you know, when the Holy Spirit comes in us, you know, we have a certain frequency that's our frequency, our DNA. We have a certain vibratory state which allows us to be unique in God's eyes. When we accept Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, and we're sanctified by the blood of Christ through the scalar waves that He eternally emits from the cross because He's omnipresent, and we allow the Holy Spirit to come into us and connect us with Yahweh and His dimension, what it allows us to do is to use the frequency of the Holy Spirit to obtain residence with Yahweh, with the Creator of the universe. Now, let me repeat that, because I haven't covered this on your show before. It allows us to obtain the residence frequency of Yahweh through the Holy Spirit to come within us, to dwell in us, to live within us. And but He says, "It be you continually filled, and you'll be in Me, and I'll be in you." He says this in the New Testament. And guys, what's so beautiful about that is, it's kind of like this. If you're driving down the highway, and you're listening to your Christian station, here it's 91.1 FM, and if you start getting away from that station, you'll get static, and you'll start having mixed signals and breaking in, and you're trying to tune it, but you're kind of losing connection with it. But if you keep driving far enough, you'll get somebody else's signal that may not be a Christian station. And see, and this is what happens to us as a frequency being, as a being of energy, which we are in this holographic universe that God put us into. When we get too far away from Yahweh, we get too far away from the Creator of the universe, we may pick up things that aren't correct. It's 1 Timothy chapter 1, I believe, verse 4 says, the Spirit clearly says that in latter days, some will follow demons and unclean spirits and things that are basically through hypocrisy are being taught. Now, I paraphrase that. I messed that up. It'll come to me in a second. I usually leave that one from memory. But what ends up happening is we have that happen to us. We follow unclean spirits and things taught by demons because we think we're hearing the voice of God because we've gotten away from the frequency. That's why the frequency of God's presence through the Holy Spirit. That's why we've got to stay in the Word of God, and we've got to stay tuned in to God, so to speak, from a physics standpoint. And if we do that, it allows us to obtain that resonance of the infilling of the Holy Spirit and allows us to do all things through Christ who strengthens us, because we now have God sharing with us part of His omnipotence, omniscience, and omnipresence. And what that allows us to do is say, hey, wait a minute, I don't have to do this anymore. I can put this stuff under my feet. See, and this is what Christians have learned in the last couple of years, you know, with the alternative media movement, that we don't have to listen to unclean demon spirits. We can tune back into God Almighty. And it's almost like the same parody that we're not parody, paraphrase, the same analogy with listening to alternative talk radio, like with your show. If you listen to CNN, which, by the way, most of the world only get CNN as their English-speaking station. It's the same in South Africa. It's almost all the European countries. One of the only English-speaking stations is CNN. They think we're all a bunch of nutbags over here because they believe what the rhetoric is that CNN says. And guys, listen to me. We can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. If we commit our plans unto the Lord, they will succeed. All of these things the Word and the Scripture tells us. But you have to abide in Jesus, and abide, He'll abide in you through the Holy Spirit. And if you allow that to happen in your life, everything changes. And that's what we've all begun to realize, is that we don't have to listen to these things taught by demons, these pedophiles, these people that are involved in soul cooking ceremonies, these people that are involved in child trafficking, all of this horrible, filthy stuff that you've talked about, Doug, that you've written about, that I've talked about. Because guys, these people are of Lucifer. They're not of God's Spirit. They're liars because their daddy is Lucifer, because he was a liar from the beginning. And all they want you to do is to believe the lie. Now, let's talk about Obama's legacy. Then I'm going to talk about some of the things that I think Trump can do in order to make some changes. And then the second hour that I'm on with you guys, I'd really like to go into some nutrition stuff, because boy, have I learned some stuff this past month on nutrition since I've been on with you guys. Number one, we've got to realize that the Hope and Change was simply a slick marketing campaign that Obama did, probably using a Bernays advertising agency, because they wanted to allow him to have this new branding that they were coming out with 8 years ago with this fancy little logo, etc. Also, we have to realize that his first executive order, which I would also rescind if I was Trump, was to seal all of his personal records. I would open this boy up for a public inspection. And here's what I would do personally. If he is found to be a usurper, I remember one of the top black people in the beginning when Obama was elected, what was his name? Alan Keyes. He said that Obama is a Kenyan and he's a usurper and he should not even be in the White House and he should not have been there. And I'll be honest with you, if I was President Trump and I opened up Obama's personal records and I found that he was a usurper and had illegitimately taken over the White House, through the Democratic Party as he did through the Bush cabal, Clinton cabal, I would have him stricken from the Federal Registry and have everything he did revoked. Now, I don't know what the legal ramifications of all that would be, but it sure would get rid of a whole bunch of regulation, including Obamacare, that we did, because this man, if he was not an American citizen, he had no right to be in the White House issuing orders and executive orders to any of us. And I personally don't believe he has the right to say that he was the president of the United States. That's my personal opinion, because that's how much I dislike these people because of what they've done. They've given us men in bathrooms with little girls. Men using the bathroom with little girls, and all of the left thinks that's okay. Well, guess what? We don't think it's okay. That's why Trump's in the office. They've given us Monsanto with the DARC Act again, and they've not allowed us to have disclosure on GMO foods that we're getting. They don't tell us what we're getting soaked down with glyphosate, which has been linked to over a dozen different types of cancers, including a lot of people now believe it's been linked to autism, which I believe is a component of that also. They don't want us to know anything that they've done as far as all the poison they're putting into us, and Obama's been okay with all of that. He was going to be the most open administration in the history of Washington, D.C., and he turned out to be one of the most closed administrations in the history of Washington, D.C., and he turned out to be a complete and total usurper. I believe he's Kenyan. I don't believe for one second. In fact, we know now that birth certificate he produced was a complete and total fraud, which I've been saying that for years and years and years, and I don't think he has any right to have had anything as far as leadership in our government. I personally think he was some type of Manchurian candidate through the CIA, and he committed identity fraud. Number three, let's talk about the bomb-dropping, war-loving Nobel Prize winner who has bombed all of these countries. Libya was a stable country in the Middle East until Clinton and Obama got there. Now it's turned to a war-ravaged nightmare that people are fleeing left and right. It's caused a lot of the immigrants to come out of Libya and out of Syria that we decided to bomb under Obama again. This war-loving president, who's supposedly the Nobel Prize peace winner, has been a complete and total disaster as far as public relations in the world for all of us. Now, George W. Bush was no better. I'm going to tell you that right now. They're both bad. We've had this Clinton-Bush crime cabal going back to 1933 with Prescott Bush trying to stage a coup against Franklin Delano Roosevelt with the help of Smedley Butler, who turned him into Congress to try to take over the United States, who was then later charged with Trading with the Enemies Act and had his bank closed in New York City. Now, guys, this is Prescott Bush, the father of H. Bush. Then H. Bush, a lot of people believe, was directly involved with the assassination of JFK. If you don't believe that or you want to have more research on that, go online and watch JFK to 9/11. It's a rich man's trick. He's got close to 4 million views. Now, I think you've seen that, haven't you, Doug?
Twice. Yeah, and it's a long movie.
It's like 3 hours and 27 Twice. Minutes, I believe.
But are they 100% right in it? I have no idea. But what they do, they paint another picture that you probably weren't aware of. Then, of course, we've got Reagan going into the White House, George Bush and those guys meeting with the Hinckley family before Reagan gets shot, mm-hmm. and then basically George Bush supposedly taking over the White House after Reagan was supposed to have been dead because they shot him right next to his heart. And, of course, Reagan is kept under medicine for the next 8 years because he happened right after he got in the White House. So George Bush effectively ran the White House for 12 years, you know, after he replaced Reagan. And then, of course, Clinton came in. So this entire crime cabal, all the way back from the assassination of JFK, all the way back to 1933, has been involved in American politics up to their necks. And finally, America has started to wake up because of alternative media and because of the internet and because of videos like JFK to 9/11, realizing we don't want these people in the White House anymore. It gives them too much power, too much authority, and too much legitimacy. These guys are grifters. All they care about is personal enrichment, and Trump talked about that today in his speech. Next we want to talk about is that the drone strikes that he's done, the kill list that he's done, even with American citizens that Obama has done, also the power to indefinitely detain and to torture without trial versus with the NDAA, also forced socialized medicine on the entire country, and also let's not forget the gun running with Fast and Furious, the Benghazi invasion of Libya, which they were supposed to have everybody killed in that invasion, but they were not willing to lay down and die, the Ukrainian coup, the covert funding of ISIS to overthrow Syria because of pipelines and other factors, and of course, the whole thing is full of fakery and coercion. Obama has basically done everything he possibly can to destroy the republic. He's not a black president, though he has some black in him. He is a Muslim president. We all know that. His name is Barack Hussein Obama. That is his name. Now, guys, it's ridiculous that he was in the White House for 8 years. I believe that his second election was complete and totally riddled with fraud. I don't think we put a good enough candidate against him. But, of course, Mitt Romney, as we later learn, was part of the capitulation through the New World Order. So, guys, it's been a mess, and I am so happy that through a groundwork effort and through the grace of God Almighty, through the power of Yeshua and Yahweh, that we were able to pray and put Donald Trump into the White House. And I believe we proved it today with him constantly, with the prayers constantly evoking Jesus. Because remember, when Obama got into the White House, he quickly told everybody that we were not a Christian nation. Whatever we once may have been, we were no longer a Christian nation. Guys, that's the kind of hope and change we can live without. And I'm so thankful to God Almighty, to Yeshua himself, that this thing is over with and this usurper is out of the White House. And that's how I feel about Obama. And we start on Trump now. What do you guys think about
that? I love it. Well, first of all, we have Rachel Maddow on line one for you. Chris Matthews on line two for you. And no, you're 100% right. You're correct in this. And I was really refreshed, Joe. I was refreshed to see God invoked, Donald Trump invoking God, and then he set the record with the number of prayers.
So. Yeah, and interesting, on the way back to the studio after our inauguration coverage, I was listening to Sean Hannity, who played some of the news reporters' clips when Obama was inaugurated, how they were comparing the merging of political and religious feelings of euphoria when he took office, and then you had the kids at the preschool, basically praying to him and singing about him, and you had this, and now the left's complaining that there was too much of a religious overtone with Trump when they were basically labeling Obama as their political and religious messiah, just 8 years ago. We're talking with Ted Brewer from healthmasters.com. He'll be with us for the next three segments till the end of the show, so don't go anywhere. We're just getting started.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to this edition of the Hagman and Hagman Report. Hang on a second here. I'm serious. You know, folks, let me tell you something, okay? A lot of alternative media shows have their own nutritional supplements. That's like me trying to be a nutritionist. You wouldn't want that. No. So what we did was we asked Christopher Walken here. The better looking, the young version of Christopher Walken, to give us his nutritional supplements. So in the same fashion. And look, I'm not making fun of Alex Jones. And if anyone says that they're wrong, okay? Alex Jones and I have a good relationship. Alex has his brand, but I'll tell you something: you can't beat HealthMasters.com. HealthMasters.com. I'm taking their Ultimate C right now. Their Excellent C. And the reason I'm doing this is because, it was a long day today, and I can't verify this, but Donald Trump's energy comes from both purple sticks and B12 from Health Masters. That's what I hear. But we're really, really pleased to have with us, Ted Brewer, from healthmasters.com, political commentary as well as, as well as nutritionist. But it was quite the day today.
It was. In fact, I've been hearing my comparison to Christopher Walken all of my life, starting as a teenager when he first played in that one movie, The Deer Hunter. And people have been telling me that since college, that I look like Christopher Walken. Now he's in his mid 70s now, and I'm 61. And apparently he's gotten so old and craggly, I don't really hear much that I look like him anymore, but I hear I look like a young Christopher Walken. So I guess I'm okay with that. I guess I always tell people he looks like me, but he did come first. So his parents were, part of his relatives were out of Germany, and I've got another relative who looks almost identical to me. So who knows, we may have some type of common DNA thread there in our past that kind of showed up as both of us. But yes, I do have an uncanny resemblance to Christopher Walken. Yeah, I have been asked many times if I am Christopher Walken when I was younger, and if I lose about 6 more pounds, then I really look like Christopher Walken. So maybe that's why I try to keep my weight up 6 pounds, though, so the comparisons are always overwhelming.
It's the hair.
It is the hair. And this is my hair. This is not a wig. And by the way, I want to show this to you guys. We just finished developing this. We've had so many requests for this. And guys, this is an amazing product. This is Health Masters Ultimate Multiple in powder form.
Oh, okay. I need that.
It took so much work. This actually tastes good. We use natural organic stevia, super high grade, which stevia is make it to taste good, not having to put a bunch of sugar in it. We use natural fruits and flavors in it, and it's actually good. You can put it in a fruit smoothie, and it tastes good, and it's extremely healthy. Because, guys, especially if you're pregnant and you have a problem swallowing pills, or if you're older and you can't swallow pills, or if you've got a parent in a nursing home and they can't swallow pills, or you just don't like swallowing pills, this is it. It's about 2.5 months supply of this. It's around $70, and we have the price is a little bit high on it. From what I'd like to have had it around $60, but the problem with it is it's just the natural ingredients are so expensive as far as the stevia and the natural flavors and the natural beet juice powder we put in there. This product is great. I put it in my shake in the mornings. It's absolutely great. Brand new, just came out, and the Doug Books coupon is active. So when you guys order this, we're going to send you like 4 books for free. That'll cover the cost of this anyhow. So guys, this is a phenomenal process. If you can't chew vitamins, or you can't swallow vitamins, or you don't like the taste of vitamins, or whatever, this is it. This is a huge product we've been working on for a long, long time. The problem with when you use multiple vitamins and you try to use them for a powder or whatever, you got to put a lot of stuff with them to make them taste okay, because some of the vitamins are really nasty tasting.
Boy,
not as bad as black seed oil, but they're pretty bad.
So it's very difficult
to cover the taste. So we've been able to do that with that. So let me go ahead and give you some stuff about what Germany's doing right now, what they believe, because this is how Europe's kind of looking at Trump, if you don't mind.
Yeah, let's rock. Okay, go ahead.
This is interesting. Sarah Wagenknecht, she's going to try to defeat Angela Merkel. And they did an interview with a guy by the name of Ralph Niemeyer. And yes, kind of reminds me of that movie, Niedermeyer. Wasn't that the movie that we did back in that with what was that old college movie back in the 70s? Animal House.
Yeah. I was going to say that cult classic Animal House. Yeah, that's right.
I'm not recommending that movie unless you watch it on TV, then it's funny because it's pretty rank. The reign of Germany's Angela Merkel could only be stopped if the Social Democrats unite behind a candidate like Sarah Wagenknecht, as says known, renowned German journalist and politician Ralph Niemeyer. And by the way, the one journalist out of Germany, I forgot his name, it was Udo, I don't remember his last name, who exposed the CIA involvement in the media in Germany and globally was found dead last week. Doug, I don't know if you knew that or not.
No.
He was found dead. And I've got a story. We'll cover that story later on the show if we have time.
How did I miss that? How did we miss that? Okay. It's probably not reported over here because the CIA runs the media here. But
we reported it on our show because, you know, in our show every day from 3 to 4, and it's also immediately following Hagman every night on Global Star or Satellite. But he was basically, I personally think that he was a victim of wet works, because I don't think that he died because he was too young. And all of a sudden he even said in one of his articles that he knew that what he was doing was extremely dangerous, but that he did not have any children, so he wasn't concerned about what they did to him, and so they found him dead. So with a heart attack, which is, of course, what they always do with a heart attack. And so I feel bad for him and for his family if he has brothers or sisters or a mother or dad that's still alive. So may he rest in peace, because anytime you start doing what we do and you start exposing this stuff, especially in Germany, because he was like a huge anchor. And when he came on TV and did all of this and talked about the CIA paying so many of the anchors in Germany and the newspaper reporters, they were on payroll with the CIA.
Yep.
I knew, Doug, that he was really, really asking for it. That was a couple of years ago. He only made it a couple of years after that. So, you know, may he rest in peace, because I feel really bad for him. But anyhow, he goes on to say, yes, let's face it, it's not all the people of the free world who will miss Mr. Obama, but only the mainstream media and the elites who fear that the new U.S. president can't be controlled. Mr. Trump obviously doesn't fear the deep state, the Secret Service, the CIA, and for this reason says what he thinks and probably will do whatever he wants. It is refreshingly democratic to see a president who is not full of fear and speaks unscripted. I don't think that the world will go under because of him. He goes, well, it would be fair to say that you like Mr. Trump. He goes, well, I see him pragmatic, not a philosophical point of view. His industrial policy may turn out to be good for American workers, while his affiliation with big money will also tie him to Wall Street. He goes on to say, I personally am not worried about U.S. domestic policy because I don't believe, or I don't live in the U.S., but I still wouldn't have voted for Mrs. Clinton. She didn't offer any real alternatives. For us Europeans, the election of Trump can bear fruit as we work to emancipate ourselves from U.S. dominance, which is still from World War II, by the way. Okay, see, he goes on to say, Obama used U.S. air bases in Germany to conduct his wars in Libya, Iraq, and Syria. as well as his drone war in Afghanistan and Pakistan. Now Mr. Trump is showing less eagerness in policing the world, and this will give us room to maneuver a little bit more independently. For the past 100 years, whenever Germany tried to cooperate with Russia, the U.S. put their foot in the door. Now a chance arises that Mr. Trump and Mr. Putin talk with each other and find solutions to the Ukraine and Syria. Germany can establish better relations with Russia again. I'm going to correct him right here. Hitler was not, was with it 100 years ago, and Hitler did not want to have good relations with the communist Soviet Union and attack them on their western front, on his eastern front. And then he asks, do you think Mrs. Merkel will align with Mr. Putin? And he goes, I think her time is over. Are you saying that she will lose the election in September? She would if my party, the Social Democrats, will unite with the Greens. And then she goes on to say that the one who was running did not link the refugees to the terrorist attack in Berlin, but she was right to point out that the uncontrolled migration is creating problems to which the state has not adequately responded. To let the people into your country is one thing. To treat them as equal citizens and to provide them equal opportunities is a completely other thing. And then he goes on to say, because the ultra-leftists in her party are dreaming of open borders, there you go, that's what Merkel is, and failed to see that the refugees crisis is a crisis. They look at it as a conspiracy instigated by the U.S. in order to destabilize the EU and weaken Germany. So there's some interesting comments being made in Germany right now about what's happening with Donald Trump and what's going on with the European immigration crisis. Angela Merkel says she doesn't think it's a crisis. She thinks it's fine. She thinks the raping of the women and the children in Germany is fine. And Germany has a very, very strict policy about speaking out against the government. And if you do, you can actually be fined or locked up and put in jail. People don't realize that. They don't have the same constitution we have. They weren't given that right. And so they're really, really policed over there very strictly. And yeah, they're told they can't say certain things or do certain things. They can't even use certain words like Third Reich or Hitler or Nazi or any of that stuff, which is just part of their history. They're not allowed to talk like that because they've been told they can't. Isn't that crazy, guys?
Yeah, they have the hate speech laws all throughout Europe. We had Tara from Reality Calls based out of the UK, and she talks about this. And I just read a story not too long ago the other day about a man who was yelling at a migrant who was assaulting somebody who got arrested for what he was saying to that, to the refugee. And we know Merkel has an election coming up.
Well, you know, if I can just interject something, that really pisses me off. And I'm sorry to use that language, but you know, how dare, if you're speaking the truth and you're subject to arrest, Ted, man, I mean, how far down the swirly have we gone?
Well, that's Germany. Because remember, Germany was, they were basically an occupied territory and still are. Germany is an occupied territory of the United States. They're run by the Rothschild banking cartel. Because remember, the Rothschilds particularly hate Germany. Because when Hitler took power in 1933, he got rid of the Rothschild banking cartel. We're talking about this in just a second. He got rid of them and started printing debt-free currency. He was able to fight all of World War II without any debt. He didn't have to borrow any money from the Rothschild banking cartel. People don't realize that Hitler did this and gave Germany an unprecedented prosperity for about 6 years until he went nuts and started invading Poland and the rest of Europe. If he had just done what he was doing, remember, he was Time Magazine Man of the Year because of what he had done to turn Germany around. And he, one of the things he did is he got rid of the Sabbatean Rothschild conspiracy banking system that uses, you know, black magic, if you want to call it that, or money magic in order to make money out of nothing through their Federal Reserve system they have in Germany and almost all the other countries in the world. And that's one of the things that Donald Trump's going to have to do. Let's go ahead and talk about that right now while we're talking about it. Let's do it. One of the number one things.
It's never about the spoon, folks.
No.
And that's a reference. You have to understand the reference. It's never about the spoon. Mm-hmm. Just, and if you don't know what that means, think about it or research it.
Number one, he's going to have to shut down the Federal Reserve. He's going to have to start. He's going to have to do what JFK did, like Executive Order 11110, and allow the Treasury to start printing currency again. He needs to nationalize the Federal Reserve. You can't get rid of the Federal Reserve. You can't do that, Doug, and here's why. If you get rid of the Federal Reserve, the entire banking community is linked together. They're intrinsically linked. If you get rid of the Federal Reserve, you'll collapse the banking sector, which will really mess up the flow of money and cause a massive contraction of credit and available cash for the entire country. It would actually put the stock market into a massive downward spiral. Gold would go through the roof. I mean, all these things would happen almost instantaneously if you did that. But what you can do is you can nationalize the Fed like Hitler did. And you can take the banking sector over with Congress, and you can get these Rothschild lowlifes who brought this whole thing to us with J.P. Morgan, and you can start running it yourself, and you can start doing your own thing with the debt-free currency again. Because remember, we didn't have to borrow our money from anybody else back until 1913 when this great giant conspiracy took over the United States and did this to us. So what we need to realize is that if we want to get back to being a country that had the lowest debt in the world, we've got to stop borrowing our money at interest. Because what happens is this. If you borrow $1 trillion, and let's say it's 10% interest, and this is going to give you just an example to make it easy for you. Let's make it 7.2%. That'll make it easier because of the rule of 72. If you borrow $1 trillion for 10 years at 7.2% interest, you're going to have a note due of $1 trillion that's due back to the bank plus another $1 trillion in interest. The problem is the interest is never printed. It is never put into circulation. So you have to add that $1 trillion in interest to the national debt, and you've got to refinance it again. This is what they've done. This is how they've got us in over $100 trillion in actual deficits with unfunded liabilities of the United States, because they didn't allow us any longer to print interest-free money. This is what Andrew Jackson said when he threw these bankers out in 1832. If I had been president of the United States, if Andrew Jackson has a Bible, maybe it's in somebody's personal collection, I would ask to have been sworn in on the Andrew Jackson Bible. That's what I would have done. I would not have done Abraham Lincoln.
That's a good point.
Yeah, I wouldn't have done Abraham Lincoln because I don't like what Abraham Lincoln did. When he stripped states of rights, is what Abraham
Lincoln was horrible. I mean, absolutely, the real Lincoln was absolutely one of the worst presidents of the United States, and you can quote me on that, people.
Well, I've said that repeatedly on your show, and if people knew who Lincoln, if I was president of the United States, if I could get away with it, I would tear the Lincoln War Memorial down. I would tell you, I would tear it down. I'd say this guy was not who he said he was. Remember, his wife was a Sabbatean witch. I mean, she's in seances in the White House. This is not who you think it is. This guy wasn't even a Christian. You know, people, well, yeah, he was. No, he wasn't. He wasn't a Christian. I mean, how could a Christian let his wife do witchcraft and calling up the dead and seances in the White House? This is not who he was. Remember, he was good friends with Karl Marx back in the 1850s and 1860s. This was not a good person. Yep. He was not a good person. And guys, you got to remember that. He was the one who killed almost half the population of the United States in the Civil War, all because the states wanted to have their own rights and not be held under the federal tyranny. It had very little to do with slavery. It was about states' rights. Because remember, Eli Whitney had already developed the cotton gin, and slaves were being released all over the place because they were too expensive to feed. And quite frankly, it was a lot more economical to use a cotton gin to harvest cotton than it was to pay slaves year-round to harvest cotton. That's the whole thing that people don't understand. They wanted to turn it into a slavery issue, which they did very effectively, especially in the history books, but it was not. It was a state's rights issue. So I would get rid of Lincoln.
And the other thing, too, Lincoln absolutely shredded the Constitution.
That's right. He did. You know, he did.
People don't get it.
Yeah. No, he really did. Okay, now, we also need to decriminalize natural medicine. We need to end the FDA pharmacy monopoly that they have. We need to go in, and we need to do other things, too. We need to get rid of these sanctuary cities. We need to take George Soros and make all of his organizations terrorist organizations and basically put a warrant out for his arrest for what he's done with Black Lives Matters, the police that he's killed, that he's financed, all of this stuff. He needs to be held accountable for, Doug and Joe, and he needs to flee to Switzerland or Israel, wherever that Nazi guy wants to go. He needs to get out. He needs to go. He's bad news, and he has done a lot of this with these crazy MoveOn.org and Black Lives Matter, and he needs to go away. And Obama, all he did was encourage that.
Can we find out where seriously, where does he physically exist, reside? In New York, or is it somewhere out of the country? Hungary?
I don't know. I think he lives in the United States. But we also need to get rid of the public radio systems, the NPR. We need to get rid of that. We need to get rid of the all of the stuff with Monsanto. We need to expose what they're doing with the seeds. We need to initiate criminal investigations into the CDC and how they've poisoned the United States. And we need to probably pardon those Oregon ranchers and those guys and Bundy and all the rest of them. I would do that immediately if I was Trump. I'd do that on Monday. I'd pardon all of the people that had that happen to them in Oregon. Now, I'm not saying the way they handled it was correctly. I'm not.
I know. There's papers. I think somebody had submitted informally something that Trump, and I don't, about the ranchers. Don't quote me on that, but yeah, I agree with you on that.
Well, because, I mean, you know, guys, okay, we were all thinking, okay, this is just what we were thinking, at least a lot of us were, especially in alternative radio, that we weren't going to have a free election, which I personally believe was hacked by the Clinton administration, which I believe the FBI unhacked, which I believe God Almighty allowed to have happen to get us Trump in the White House. We all believe that we were going down the slippery path to tyranny. You could tell that Hillary Clinton today was not happy to be on that platform. She looked like she'd had three or four drinks already. She was not drunk. That woman had been drinking today. You could tell it by the glazed look in her eyes. Bill looked like he'd gotten another verbal beating from her this morning. He looked like a whipped puppy like he always does every time he's in her presence. And I noticed that Donald Trump, that I did not see when he did, when he was shaking everybody's hands, I did not see him shake Hillary's hand at all.
He did. And he forced, actually, Ted, you might have been doing the show or something, but he forced a standing ovation for Hillary Clinton.
Which, I didn't see that.
Yeah. And I know people are going to say, see, they're all, but I think he did this, I think he had to do it, Ted. I really do. You know, to reach across the aisle to kind of at least, otherwise you're going to have complete anarchy. I know, look, if I was Donald Trump, and I think you'd be, feel the same way. If you're up there, you might hate this person and really want to go after this person. But publicly, you're going to have to kind of put up this persona. So you don't have total anarchy in Congress and both sides of the House. And
now, Doug, did he do that during his speech or when he's up on the platform later in the day?
It was during the, I believe it was during the luncheon.
I missed all that. I didn't see any. I was getting ready for my show.
Yeah, it was during the luncheon, and he stood up and made her stand up and made everyone stand up to give her a standing ovation. Ultimately, that's kind of what happened.
Okay, well, I missed all that. So anyhow, I didn't see him do any of that on the platform, so I guess you're correct. I was sleeping or doing something else or preparing for my show or doing my show. But the thing is this. I mean, you know, she's a Sabbatean witch. We know that. I mean, Larry Nichols outed her as being a witch, having her own coven in L.A. So by the grace of God and God Almighty, we've been able to walk away from that mess. But I guess he is reaching across the aisle trying to restore some type of normalcy between his relationship with him and her voters, because she did get a lot of voters, supposedly. But I personally believe that Bernie Sanders would have given him a much better run for his money.
Yeah.
Bernie probably would have won the election, to be honest with you.
I just want to clarify this. I don't think that he was trying to mend fences. I think he was trying to give the outward appearance that, hey, you know, everyone, look at the people who watch every move that he makes and everything he says, every hand gesture he makes.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Okay. So. Right. The optics here, to me, are important, and I think that it's pure theater what he did with Clinton. Now, I just hope he goes after her, and I believe he will.
Well, I do too. I hope we haven't seen the last of his going after Hillary Clinton, because quite frankly, she's a career criminal. Now, there's a few more things that Trump could do, because I know we're running out of time again. I believe that we need to go ahead and disassociate ourselves with NATO or have a different type of relationship with NATO. I really believe that we need to stop funding the United Nations the way we do. I personally believe that the United Nations is an outdated concept that was brought to us courtesy of the New World Order and needs to go away. I believe that he needs to go ahead and put up that Mexican border wall in the areas where it needs a wall. I believe we need to have closer ties with Russia. I believe we need to basically learn the way we need to trade with the rest of the world, and we need to not allow all of this dumping of all these products into the United States and destroying our own manufacturing. I believe that our relationship with China needs to be looked at again, and we need to decide if they're really who we want to be tied together with the way we are. The Iran nuclear deal is absolutely a disaster. The North Korean situation, which we have, 40,000-50,000 troops, we have that many, I'm not sure about now, on that border. Basically, let North Korea and South Korea work this out themselves. South Korea has asked us many times, Doug, to get out of their country and to leave them alone. They don't want to be involved with us as far as our military diplomacy. We need to take a look at the climate change policy, and we need to get rid of Obamacare. And if we do all of those things, Doug, we're going to massively change what Obama has done and the damage that he's done to us. But it's going to have to start with repealing the Federal Reserve Act and getting rid of this mess and nationalizing the assets that have been stolen from the United States. These guys are worth, they're quadrillionaires, the Rothschilds are. They're quadrillionaires. They've taken so much money from the United States and other countries around the world. Even if we nationalized $100 trillion of their assets, I mean, said, you guys stole it from us, we're not going to let you keep it, which is what Hitler did in 1933 when he did the same thing to them, then what would happen is we would allow our country to come back to solvency again and not have these massive debts everywhere. Then we can use part of their assets that we would get to pay back all of the debt that was sold to all of these countries like Russia and all of these other investors. Because that's the thing that the Sabbateans did, these Rothschilds. What they did is they didn't keep the debt internally. They sold the debt through T-bills, bonds, etc., for the United States Treasury to other countries. And when they did that, they tied us together in world debt. Because if it had just been to the Rothschild banking cartel, to our Federal Reserve, which they own, they have trillions of dollars of debt, because people stopped buying our debt, then what would have happened is we could have nationalized at any point, made it illegal what they had done. But now we have to do something to pay the people back who loaned us all this money supporting our great expansion in the national debt we have. And plus, we have to take another look at this petrodollar, because we have to realize that needs to go away. We have so many assets in this country that we can basically stabilize our currency with the oil reserves and the coal reserves and the uranium reserves and all the things that we have in our country right now. We should be a net exporter of oil and natural gas rather than having to pull the stuff in from the Middle East.
But what about,
there's a lot of things we need to do quickly.
Well, I'm just really curious real quickly here. What about the cost of getting it out of the ground, lift costs? I mean, Saudi Arabia, the reason we suck the oil from Saudi Arabia is because of the lift costs are lower. Here it would be a little bit higher. However, independence versus convenience and,
right.
and economy.
Trump administration has already outlined the first 100 days, and a lot of what you touched on is in here, from the energy to foreign policy, jobs, military, law enforcement, trade deals. The list of priorities was published at the White House website today after Trump was sworn in. He, under the energy plan, they said they're going to eliminate policies such as climate action plan, and they're going to lift restrictions, helping American workers increase the wages by $30 billion in the next 7 years. And to the energy, they're going to support tapping the estimated $50 trillion worth of untapped shale and gas reserves on federal lands and use the revenue to support public infrastructure building. So,
like the way we keep interrupting you, Ted, go ahead.
No. I love listening to you guys, because the truth of the matter is that's exactly right. He needs to go ahead and tie the dollar value of our U.S. currency back into our natural resources. That's what he needs to do. I mean, I don't think we have enough gold left to handle the massive M1 money supply we need in order to run the world's currency supply. And I think we probably need to remain the world's currency reserve. I don't have a problem with that. But we have to tie it back to something, and we cannot go in and continue the deficit spending. We can't be extracting all of this wealth from the United States and giving it to other countries. We can't be doing that. We did that back in the 60s and the 70s when people were trading in the debt for gold. And finally, you know, Nixon said, well, we have to stop this. We're running out of gold. It's enough of this nonsense. Guys, we've got a problem right now with this massive national debt, and we've also got a problem with the petrodollar, but we need to remain reserve currency. I really believe that, to maintain our economic stability, but we've got to do something different with our national debt. We don't need to be buying our currency from a third party called the Rothschild Banking Cartel in order to have enough sustainable currency for our country. It's complete and total nonsense. By the way, we've got a phone number for you. We have a 24-hour feed for my show in Austin, show that we do every day. If you guys want to listen to it, you listen to it 24 hours a day. Just please don't listen to it during the Hagman Show. It's 641-552-5310. That's 641-552-5310. So if you like the way that I've tied all of this stuff together, you'll love our show. If you don't like the way I've tied this all together, then you probably won't like our show.
Ted's show comes on, Ted and Austin's show comes on right after ours, right here on Global Star Radio Network. I cannot tell you how often that after we, while we're in the office debriefing after the show, we listen to your, rebroadcast after ours. So it's so much fun. And folks, visit healthmasters.com. That's healthmasters.com. Doug Books. I'm going to tell you, look, the books, $100 worth of books. I've got the books. I've read them. My wife has got, I can't remember. Maximum Memory. I was kidding. Okay. Do you like the way I did that? Seriously. She's reading that right now. So anyway, order Doug Books. Really, $100 worth of books, roughly, by using that coupon code. Good stuff. Healthmasters.com. And Ted Brewer is our guest. Wonderful guy. God bless each and every one of you for hanging in with us. We'll be right back. Stay with us. HagmanReport.com. Check it out. A lot of new articles on HagmanReport.com. Do it now.